The epistle for this feast of the Immaculate Conception is taken from Proverbs chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity and of old, before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of water as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not yet been established. Before the hills I brought forth, he had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When, with a certain law and compass, he enclosed the depths. When he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters. When he compassed the sea with his bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits. When he balanced the foundations of the earth. I was with him, forming all things, and was delighted with every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life and shall have salvation from the Lord. The gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 1. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, being come in, said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have come today to answer one question. That is, what is the connection between this feast and the season of Advent? This is one that we want to consider. We want to be able to leave Mass this evening having this answer in our soul. And God willing, have the zeal, the courage to put this answer into practice. It will be difficult. It will cost something of you. Nevertheless, that is why you come to Mass, to ask for the graces that you need. And so this sermon being encapsulated in the Mass, pray that you will be able to gain the strength to answer the call. Just as you would try to find a great connection, a harmony between an occasion and the song sung at such an event, so too, you desire to find the harmony placed by Holy Mother Church in the season of Advent amidst the feast of today. Every year we go through Advent. Every year we find this evening obligatory for us to come to Mass every December 8th. So there's a connection. There's a great correlation between the two. Let us try to find the hidden treasure lied here. The season of Advent is one of preparation. It is a time to cleanse our soul, to take resolutions, to be prepared. This feast of this evening is going to be one that is going to allow us to be cleansed. Thus the name Immaculate Conception. Immaculate, the etymology of this word, gives to us without stain. No stain. From the moment of her conception. Not, as some people think, the moment of birth. More before, the conception of Our Lady was immaculate. And so again, this cleansing, the connection between the two, season of Advent and today's feast. Both of these times of cleansing are going to have as their goal union with God. That is our goal. That is the goal of every soul here, every soul created by God. It's nothing new. Yet this to follow will be something, God willing, that you will be able to put in practice, which has yet not been done so. This union of God will require two elements, two necessary elements to achieve the goal. We have the goal. Have we achieved it? It is said that this union of God requires first a negative and secondly a positive aspect. We begin with the worst first, so to end with the great fulfillment, you may say. This negative quality is that we must be detached from everything foreign from God. That is, again, we must be detached from anything foreign from God. Nothing may lie between you and God. This is negative because it requires to take something from you. Every one of us has a shackle upon our soul which does not allow us to swiftly go to God when we die, swiftly go to the tabernacle for communion, swiftly go to our rest at night having peace of conscience. There is some obstacle between us and God. What is it? What do we have to take away? That is the whole purpose of Advent. To resolve to not do something, to do something positive, which we will get to. Is the computer? Is your iPhone? Is your friend? Is that an obstacle for you? Does it take your time? Or do you freely give everything to God and use those things as instruments to fulfill your duty of state? These are huge questions which all of us must recollect upon, because these material things, these people, places, and things do pose obstacles for our eternal destiny. And this again will come back to the negative aspect, which is an element necessary for that union with God. Nothing can lie between us and God. He created us. There's a direct link. Yet we, as the foolish human creatures being pinged with the four wounds of human nature, fall so gravely, gravely used in the wide sense, to these mere inanimate objects. These creatures which are fallen as we are we attached to them? Think, consider this evening that detachment which is necessary. And for you, try to think of this one example, because all of you will bring up an excuse. I cannot be detached. This is necessary. There was a man in this past year, a father of a very large family, and as one of his young daughters became gravely ill to the point that she had to be hospitalized for 6 months straight. She was in a bubble, a true bubble in the hospital. No one could enter without permission. She had no immune system. The parents had to decide who would take care of her. She's young. Who would take care of her? It was decided that the father would stay with her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 months. Don't forget that this man had the job to supply the food for the family, the roof over the head of the rest of the family and the wife. This man took a very, very big step of faith. I must do this for the good of my family. He was there to preserve those souls, this Catholic family, this traditional Catholic family. After the 6 months, the child was still sick, yet she was able to go home, have a mask over her face, and try to do the normal prescriptions. This man, at the end, voiced his discouragement, saying, "What will be my future? These 6 months, I haven't been working much." However, a modern man, he was able to work on his computer in the hospital room. A great quality here. He was not only not fired, he was promoted the day after she was taken out of the hospital. An astonishment for this man, for the family, for the world, that such could be the case. No one understood what could happen. He was promoted for the work he did although he did nothing and compared to what he would have done at the office. There is the great glory of God given to those who step for him, who detach themselves from the shackles of this world. He was a man of faith, one who was able to take this negative aspect to heart. However, from this negative aspect comes a positive one, the one that you're all expecting. However little do you know, it's going to again be a great weight upon your shoulders. That is to say that we must seek, firstly, and ultimately only, God's will. Not your will, not the will of your spouse, not the will of your superior, the will of God, which is voiced through your superior. Yet, let us consider this very quickly. What does it mean? We again must consider, is this in line with my eternal goal? God himself in the tabernacle. Is coming to Mass in line with my goal? Absolutely. Is to work on a holy day, not able to come to Mass, in line with my eternal goal? Is going to a certain thing on Sunday to take me away from my great thoughts of Sunday and the holy day going to be in line with my goal as a Catholic? Is giving this thing to my child to bring it into my home going to lead this person to God? Is the phone I have in my pocket and I try to press 24 hours a day going to lead me to God? Consider this, always in the light of what is God's will. Where am I going? And here again, we have an example, a beautiful one. A priest bent down to get to the level of a child and asked her, "Would you like this gift?" And she quickly looked to her mother and said, "May I have this?" That tells you everything. Take your time, step back. May I have this? May I do this? Is it conducive for my soul? That child, as is said in Scripture, speaks the words of God. So every time you have to make a decision, do not respond rapidly to an email. Do not respond rapidly to a message you receive. Take counsel. Ask yourself these questions. Because again, God wants you to give you time to decide, do you want to love him? Do you want to be immaculate? Because immaculate is a quality necessary to enter heaven. Either you're purified here or in purgatory. These are great, great aspects to consider as we take this season of Advent. Are we always pursuing God? Do we take that step back and consider, is this for me? Many things we do, we kick ourselves because we responded too rapidly. Holy Mother Church wants you to think, to consider always your goal. It is only according to the degree that we die to ourselves that the Lord acts on us. This is a quote from Don Marmion, a great Benedictine, who speaks again in relation to these elements. Die to yourself, give everything to God, push everything away so that you can run to our Lord. Nothing should bear you down. Nothing should weigh you down coming to the tabernacle. Charity itself encased in the prison which he wants to find for you. Here we are. These two qualities, negative and positive, are found ultimately, most perfectly, in the Blessed Virgin Mary. But why? It is because she is immaculate. That is the foundation of these two elements. Immaculate. We are not immaculate. We never were. We want to become, and this will be done so much as we are encapsulated in her, in the womb of Our Lady, as she received the Immaculate. God himself who enabled her to be so. She will aid us to this union with God, to this cleansing necessary for this feast, this cleansing necessary for this season of Advent. But how? How can we fulfill this answer, this union of God, this negative and positive aspect necessary? It is said by the popes that the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is a consequence to the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. It is something that flows forth from the dogma that we profess today. So ask yourselves, have you made the first Saturday devotions? Only five consecutive Saturdays. Father, it's too busy. But as you men especially, or you wives as well, or you young teenagers, as you plan your years, your vacation, always looking forward, plan 5 months, 5 Saturdays, so that you can make it to Mass, receive Holy Communion and reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, go to confession 8 days before or after, pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, and have no attachment to a venial sin. These 5 things on 5 Saturdays will save your soul. As it is a promise of Our Lady, those who make this devotion receive the grace, the Sabbatine privilege, to get to heaven the Saturday after they die. You have your goal at your fingertips. How many of us are so excited, so desiring to make these devotions as we are to go to an event in this world? Our Lady is the model in reparation, as we hear in the act of reparation to the Sacred Heart, a beautiful prayer, one that you should take for yourselves. But here we hear, she is the model in reparation. We will say with St. John of the Cross that she is the model also in preparation. This preparation for the coming of the Christ child at Christmas, she is the one who will pave the way. She is the one given to us strategically by Holy Mother Church on December 8th so that we can be ushered into the great feast of Christmas, prepared, cleansed, ready to be united eternally with God. And as that is for you to consider, let us try to close with a great quote from the epistle of today, which you heard. Here we have Proverbs chapter 8. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. You have all heard these words. Nothing new. It's our catechism. Hear it, be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. This is it. You find Our Lady, you will find life, you will have that union with God. We're all Catholics. We're elevated from the Protestant aspect of sola scriptura. Yet, we want to believe in Scripture. Scripture is an element of our divine revelation. Do you believe that? Do you take that to heart? Consider Proverbs chapter 8 as your resolution now for Advent. If we do that, we will have that great union with Our Lady, with our Lord, eternally happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.